We need to think about Christmas from an Islamic perspective and see how we can be proactive in sharing Islam's view of Jesus, peace be on him, and what our message as Muslims speaking to the Christians needs to be, and how best to communicate this message to them. Christmas is not like Diwali, where you may say it is a celebration of a religion that Islam does not recognize, or a tradition based on some legend or myth. Isa alayhi salam was real, even if the facts surrounding him have been lost over the ages. He is called the Spirit of Allah, Ruhullah, and he is the messenger to whom Injil was revealed. So when we live in the midst of people who revere him, but with an understanding that is very different from the understanding of the Quran, it must concern us as well. At least enough for us to want to do something about it. Some of us have tried to build bridges with the Christian communities individually, but it has gone unnoticed. And some of us have even gone about the wrong way of doing this. Instead of sharing Islam's view of Jesus, some of us have adopted the Christian culture in an attempt to integrate into society. For example, some Muslims will keep a Christmas tree in their homes and give their children Christmas gifts. This, of course, is not out of an Islamic sense of duty to get to know the Christian brethren better or to share with them what we believe regarding Jesus. Rather, it is usually out of pressure from the kids, to a point that we are willing to embrace a tradition and a culture that is alien to Islam and a celebration that many know to be untrue. I say untrue because even respected scholars in the Christian world have doubted that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. In Ziyarat Warith, we describe Imam Hussein alayhi salam and say, "Assalamu alayka ya waritha Isa ruhillah." So there is a strong cord and connection of all those guides that Allah ever sent. From Adam to Nuh to Ibrahim to Musa to Isa to Al-Mustafa to Karbala and beyond to the Mahdi alayhimu salam, each one of them is an integral part and a shining bead in the rosary of guidance. If you ignore or break one bead out, then all the other beads are scattered and lose their relevance. You cannot have Hussein without Isa, just as you cannot have Isa without Hussein, because one is the warith of the other. And even when the Mahdi alayhi salam returns, Isa alayhi salam's return is very significant, because he validates the truth of who the real Mahdi is. And that is why both Shia and Sunni muhaddithin have quoted a very, very famous tradition from the Prophet that says, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا نَزَلَ فِيكُمْ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. How shall it be for you, O Muslims, when Isa ibn Maryam descends amongst you, but the Imam shall be from amongst you? And this is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim and Musnad, Ahmad ibn Hanbal and so on. And in another tradition that is also quoted by Shia and Sunni authentic sources, it says that when the Mahdi offers Isa ibn Maryam to lead in Salat, Isa ibn Maryam will refuse and says, Allah has made some of you the Umara, the leaders, the Amir over others. This is the takreem and the honor that Allah has given this Ummah. He will insist that the Mahdi leads. So for those who doubt that besides Rasulullah, in what way is an Imam superior to the Prophet, think about this hadith. This is the takreem and the honor that Allah has given this Ummah.